Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the text line, the 816, my daughter and I are headed to Dallas tonight to catch CAG's first home run. She has her glove ready to go. Go Royals.
Let me bring up something about that real fast, okay? My friend Joe texted me yesterday. He goes, I got these front row seats at Kauffman Stadium for when the team comes back out in the outfield so I can catch CAG's home run. He goes, I'm bringing my glove. I'm like, you're also almost 40. But he wants to get that.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ball. That CAG's hits over the wall and have that home run ball. Do you make an exception for something like that for an adult to bring his glove to the game?
I mean, the kid, yeah. I mean, you know my rule, but I mean, go catch with your bare hands. It's a cooler story.
I don't mind it personally.
You taking a glove to the yard?
No, 26? But for something like that, yeah, I mean, I don't...
Like, circumstances, I think...
It's fun. It's who cares? Don't make it like a kid or adult thing. I'll play baseball.
Usually, I would say, like, an adult, you're sitting there, you, like, probably don't have the glove. But if you're in the outfield and you're trying to go out there and catch the ball that Jack Caglione is going to hit...
You want to make sure you catch
it? Yeah. And it's better
take
than...
Take a net.
Take a net's not a bad thing. Yeah.
That's a little bit more cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just over, like... 10 people.
And I get it. I can see the text line now. Oh, yeah. It's real easy to carry a net around a ballpark where you just carry a glove. I don't know.
I mean, you can definitely.
Do you, though? I don't care what you do.
You can carry the net around. You can do whatever you want, man.
Can't have a sign up, though, apparently.
As long as you're not mossing kids to go get a ball or anything like that, then, yeah, I don't have any issues with that.
I would also say from the home runs I've seen him hit, right center deep. That's his right center deep. So, like, you know where. I guess.
And that's kind of where his tickets are, you know? Yeah.
Like by that, like, what is it?
That quick trip porch or whatever the hell that thing is out there. Yeah.
Right there. Be right there.
Yep.
And if it goes in the water, do not jump in. You'll be arrested and you will be, you know.
But that's why you need the net. If he puts one in the tank, you get the net, you fish it out of there. So I don't know. I didn't necessarily have a problem with him bringing his glove to the game for that reason. But if you're sitting like on the infield, probably not, you know.
Yeah, then that's fair. He's plus 630 to hit a home run.
Tonight.
It's up to you.
417 says, catch it with your beer like a man.
Yeah, because that happens all the time. There's that one video of that gal who caught the home run or the foul ball in her beer. Like that doesn't happen a lot. The odds are very slim that that's ever going to happen again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Caitlin Clark, pretty special to her sport.
She really is. I think Caitlin Clark right now, she's the most important athlete to their sport, maybe in the history of American professional sport. I mean, Michael Jordan does rival her when it comes to helping grow the NBA. But without Caitlin Clark, the WNBA is a dead sport. And I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm not saying that to be harsh. I'm being a realist in this. And when Caitlin Clark went down, nobody was watching the WNBA. She came back and played the other night. Do you know how many people watched that game the other day?
How many?
20.
20.9 million. 20.9 million people watched a regular season WNBA game on the Saturday afternoon because of Caitlin Clark. She brought 20.9 million people to the television to watch her play a game. No other athlete is doing that. People watch the NFL, but people watch the NFL regardless of who's playing. There's not that one athlete that, like, even Patrick Mahomes isn't dragging people to the game. He has shifted viewers from the Dallas Browns and teams like that to watch the Kansas City Chiefs. But Patrick Mahomes isn't the reason people watch the NFL. It's because it's the NFL. Michael Jordan's effect on day when he first came in, it was Magic and Bird for a while, and then Jordan came in and took it to the next level. I've even had people in Kansas City, you know, years and years tell me that, man, if Michael Jordan came 5 years earlier, we probably still have the Kings here because people get excited about the NBA. Nobody was excited about the NBA. People also forget their NBA finals games were in tape delay because nobody was caring. Nobody was watching. Then Michael Jordan came onto the scene and he became the league. And that's, you know, the guy that I always look at who changed the shape of his sport, of his league, was Michael Jordan. People became fans of the NBA because of Michael Jordan. And people are becoming fans of the WNBA because of Caitlin Clark. And when she doesn't play and she's not part of the game, people aren't watching. They have to figure out how to move that needle forward a little bit. But when you're out for 3 weeks and come back and you bring 21 million people to the TV to watch you play, nobody has more of an impact on their sport from an individual standpoint, an American team sport now, I'll say, and maybe even individual sports, because Tiger isn't around anymore in golf, and you know nobody's watching Pete Sampras play tennis anymore, or the Williams sisters, because they're gone, right? They're retired. Yep. Like, all the big names are gone. Nobody is more important and brings people to their sport more and is bigger than their sport, quite frankly, than Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark is bigger than the WNBA, and I wouldn't say that about any other athlete on any other professional team in any other professional sport. She is bigger than the league, and the league needs to still understand that even more and embrace Caitlin Clark even more, because without her, that league is the Arena Football League, basically.
Yeah, I mean, Tiger will always be that guy to me, because almost the entire PGA Tour right now are all flooded. It's entirely flooded with people that grew up watching Tiger. And when they go back to it and they're like, oh, well, what was the reason you got into golf? Justin Thomas, Tiger Woods. Hey, Jordan Spieth, why'd you get into golf? Well, my best friend was Justin Thomas and we watched Tiger Woods our entire lives. Rory McIlroy, same way. My age, maybe I think he's a year younger, a year older. Same thing. Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods got people into golf. Tiger Woods changed golf. Mm-hmm. Tiger Woods, there was no longer the fat guy hanging a dart going out there, you know, just trying to play golf. Now, again, technology changed, but they tiger-proofed the Masters. The body type of a golfer changed, and almost the entire PGA Tour is now made up of golfers that spent their entire life watching one individual, which just renovated that sport. And the other one I will say is Ken Griffey Jr.
Mm-hmm.
because of what he brought to baseball. Griffey got there in, 88, 89 or whatever it is with
89,
his dad.
Yeah.
They hit the back-to-back home runs together in the same game. And then about 92, it was juniors. It was Griffey. It was his sport from 92 to about 95, 96. And I get it. There were other guys that played baseball. I totally understand. But everybody had a backwards hat. Everybody begged their parents to order pizza, so they get the foam bat and the baseball that had Griffey's name on it. Everybody loved Ken Griffey Jr. And I'll never forget the day. I've said this on the air before. When I showed up to baseball practice with my hat on backwards, my coach said, "The hell are you doing?" I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "Your hat's on backwards." I said, "Yeah, Griffey does it." He goes, "Well, when you start hitting like Ken Griffey Jr., you can start wearing your hat backwards. Turn that thing around.
That's great.
Go back to back, foul pole to foul pole." By the way, that 20.9 million viewers, most watched game in WNBA history via WNBA on ESPN. So text line, put that in your pipe and smoke.
Wow, what are they trying to say?
I said, "Bob, that's not a real thing." He says, not trying to be a jerk, but where the hell did that $20.9 million come from? That sounds absolutely insane.
It is insane.
It is insane.
Because it happened.
That's why we're talking about it, because it's nuts.
Yes. From ESPN.
Right.
NBA finals are getting less than half that.
The World Series got like $12 million, and that was the Yankees and Dodgers or whatever it was, right?
Yeah.
The WNBA, a regular, it shows you the power of Caitlin Clark. I don't think people truly understand. No. She is the most powerful, popular athlete in America today.
Yes.
And that's not an overstatement.
No.
That 20.9 million people, ratings of the WNBA dropped 55% when Caitlin Clark was hurt. She came back. If Patrick Mahomes gets hurt, or Josh Allen gets hurt, or Joe Burrow gets hurt, the ratings in the NFL are not dissipating.
Will
like
not
that.
Budge.
They will not move. People will still be watching. Yep. We lost Joe Burrow for an entire year. The league went on and was just fine and moved on.
Yeah, no one cares.
Right. The WNBA loses their best player. They drop 55% in the ratings. She comes back. Almost 21 million people saddle up and watch a regular season WNBA game.
Hold on to this, because you talk about the Caitlin Clark effect. Caitlin Clark's Nike Kobe 5 Protro, or whatever it's called, shoe, is getting ready to come out on June 30th. Bet it sells out.
Oh, for sure.
No, I'm surprised it's not already sold out, right? Like pre-orders or something.
Exactly.
It's,
PROTRO. Okay. Protro. Mm-hmm. Indiana Fever colorway dropping on June 30th. A Caitlin Clark Nike sneaker will be sold out.
Yeah, oh, God, yeah.
100%. I might get
one. And I would almost guarantee you that it'll be in the top five shoes over the last however many years. I know the Jordans are always there on special releases. If you take those out of it, which they don't really do shoes anymore, so you can leave the Jordan ones in there because maybe it'll still be up there. I'm telling you, man, like, it's crazy, because when she was gone, we did a topic on it. She came back. We did a topic on it.
Yes.
I mean, you got to stop downplaying her impact on American professional sports. It's the biggest that we're seeing in sports today.
Yeah. And I mean, you talk about Michael Jordan, and I think that's a great, you know, other representation of this. But Michael Jordan at least had, you know, Bird and Magic, who kind of lifted up the NBA a little bit.
They got him to here, yes. And then he took him to here.
There's
right?
no one
yeah.
lifting this
disrespect
up.
On Dr. J, man.
Yeah. Caitlin Clark is like just turning this pile of poop into something that we want to watch. I mean, that the NBA was at least getting somewhere. And they had two megastars.
Guess what we're going to get? Just like the Tiger Woods effect, when Caitlin Clark gets older, all these girls that are in high school right now that go to college will be like, why are you so into WNBA? Caitlin Clark. We got Paige in there as well.
That's
Sophie Cunningham, how you done?
Sabrina Ionescu is fantastic.
And all these players are going to start being developed because they've seen that somebody can do it, which gives them hope and reality that maybe they can do it as well. And the talent pool will get better. The games will get better. I know it's a struggle sometimes to watch WNBA. I get it. But, man, when you see Caitlin Clark, I think you mentioned it at the BMAs. I see that tweet before we got there, and you're like, Caitlin Clark jersey was up for auction. And the first thing Bob said is like, she's great. She scored like 9 points in 8 seconds today.
Yeah, right. Like, how crazy was that the other day on Saturday? Like, I think it was like in 20-some seconds, she scored 9 points. I mean, and you know, I think we sold out of raffle tickets for that jersey. I mean, so that's how powerful Caitlin Clark is. I'm over the approach of people who say, you know, she's not that good, or she's not carrying the league, or all that kind of stuff. No, she is the most important athlete to her sport in America today, and maybe even the world today. She is revolutionizing the WNBA. She's creating a brand for the WNBA, and she drives numbers. She's a ratings driver, and everybody's paying attention to when Caitlin Clark plays and to what she does. That's how dynamic of a player she truly is, man. I mean, she's unbelievable.
Yeah, if you hate it, you just hate, and that's all there is to it.
Coming that's up, exactly right.
It's an anniversary of a famous chase, plus the top 11 current Philly athletes, and one new one was not on the list, and he's an MVP of a very big game. We dive into that on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
We'll get to On the Come here at 8:30. But before we do that, big anniversary today of a
huge anniversary. Huge.
OJ, man, and he looks stage.
Yeah, back in 1994, baby, the anniversary of the O.J. chase.
We have on the phone with us as well Robert Higgins, who lives in the neighborhood and is on the ground and can see inside the van. Mr. Higgins.
How are you?
Just about as tense as you are, sir.
Oh, my Lord, this is quite the tensest.
What can you see?
Oh, what I'm looking at right now is I'm looking at the van, and I see O.J. kind of slouching down, looking very, very upset. Now, looking here, he look very upset. I don't know what he going to be doing.
Can you see him doing anything specific? Is he merely sitting there?
He is just sitting around, you know, just looking like he'd be very nervous.
Can you hear anything, Mr. Higgins?
It's just too much commotion. I'd be in the back of a news van, so I can't really hear that good, but I can see it all. And I see O.J. I see O.J., man, and he looks scared. And I would be scared because there's cops all deep in this.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins.
And baba booey to y'all.
Peter, by the way, just for the record, this is Al Michaels. That was a totally farcical call. Lest anybody think that that was somebody who was truly across the street. That was not. He said something in code at the end that's indicative of the mentioning of the name of a certain radio talk show host.
Okay, thanks, Al.
So he was not there.
All right, we have them on every coast. Thank you very much. Not the first time nor the last time will have been had.
It's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, prank call ever. And Al Michaels is like, all right here, man. It's a farcical call. Al Michaels has said over the years, this is the man who said, do we believe in miracles? Yes. He goes, I am more well known for that moment right there than I am for maybe the greatest sporting event in the history of the United States of America. And that's beating the Russians in hockey and him saying, do you believe in miracles? Yes. And doing something so unfathomable. He says, more people walk up to him and go, that was a totally farcical call.
I see O.J., man, and he looks scared.
And I know, Mac, you were not alive, obviously, for the O.J. chase. Dusty, yeah. Were you alive then? 1994? Yeah, I guess you were for that. That was the junior summer of high school, getting ready to go to my senior year, and it was the last time the Knicks were good.
So,
I mean, it really was.
Seriously.
I mean, it was the last time the Knicks were good. And I tell, you know, the story every year is like you're sitting down getting ready to watch the Knicks and Rockets in the, you know, in the NBA Finals. And really the last time I was truly into the NBA. And then all of a sudden here comes the O.J. chase. And all of a sudden the finals didn't matter. The NBA just did not matter. And everybody was glued to their TV.
Yeah.
It is the greatest night in the history of television that the United States had ever had. And obviously long before social media, so nobody, you know, we weren't tweeting about it or anything like that. But everybody knew what was going on because people were lining the bridges and lining the freeways with signs cheering O.J. on and rooting for O.J. And that thing went on and on and on and on. And it was one of the most fascinating things to see on television, and everybody was glued to it. Pizza Hut will still tell you it is their busiest night of all time. And because nobody was going anywhere, was leaving the couch because they all wanted to see how this thing was going to end up. I mean, there was a good chance it ended up at O.J. killing himself, somebody shooting O.J. Like, you didn't know what was going to happen at that point in time. You got Al Cowlings on the phone, and it became the most important cultural moment of that generation. And watching that chase and seeing the way that everybody was cheering O.J. Simpson on, it really reminded you of how good he was. I was watching a rerun of Three's Company the other day. I just happened to catch, and they were making something, and the guy said, this is back in like the early 80s, late 70s. And the guy said, this is the O.J. Simpson of desserts. And I'm like, boy, how that has changed. And then, you know, the Naked Gun 2 trailer comes out yesterday, and it's like O.J.'s kid looking at this picture, and pops, you know, like, you know, kind of making fun of the fact that he was O.J.'s son and whatnot. But, you know, glued to the TV, glued to everything that went on during that. And like I said, that was the last time the New York Knicks were good. So having them back this year was fun. It's been 30 years since the Knicks were anything special. But that O.J. chase will always be the greatest and most like important television moment of my generation, of my lifetime, because nothing captivated anybody more than what was going on with O.J. And then it led to a year long plus trial that everybody watched every damn day of the week too, you know?
Yeah, I was getting ready to turn 7. See, I was born 87, so 3 plus 4. Yeah, 94. So yeah, I was turning 7 that summer. So August, it would have still been like pretty fluent throughout the TV. And I remember my grandparents lived across the street from us. And every day that my parents got home from work, we walked across the street and went to the living room, sat down, watched the O.J. trial, the everything. I mean, I remember when the race happened, we went over there and we watched it the entire time, or the chase. So, yeah, I mean, I do remember it. I don't remember it very as like vivid as you do, obviously.
Yeah, I was 17. You were seven. It's a big age difference of memories. Yeah.
So, but that's what I remember the most is as soon as my mom got home from the hospital, she was a nurse. We would get, you know, she would change her clothes, but come on, we're going to Nana and Papa's house. And we'd go over there. We'd turn it on. They had a plasma big screen that you see in all the Funhouse restaurants. And we watched it. And I, you know, I've watched every OJ documentary. We watched the newest one. We tweeted or we texted back and forth about that. There were things I didn't know. There were things I didn't, you know, really, you know, see for the first time. Super, super weird because then, you know, I'm 7 years old. 3 years later, I'm like, oh my God, Dad, did you know that OJ's in Naked Gun?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, Norberg. That's
he
why.
He wanted to kill the queen.
Hey, X-World is me, yours truly. Boy, what a beautiful day it is.
And that's what the whole thing was, is that, you know, you. I always go back to this because you say that there are people that will never know that Andy Reid coached for Philadelphia.
Right.
And, you know, that kind of played for me when I was a kid because I had no idea that OJ was an actor. All I know is that he was an alleged murderer and that he was running away. I had no idea that he was one of the best running backs of all time.
Ugh.
And, of course, being a sports nut at such a young age, I go back and start reading about OJ Simpson, what he did in Buffalo, what he did at USC, what he was as an athlete. He was then, like, after he was done being an athlete, he was Mr. Everything. Like, mm-hmm. he was the original, like, Tony Romo, or I guess, like, the Ryan Seacrest of sports. Like,
yeah.
He was sideline. He was booth. He was award shows. He was, you know, the guy
with the all-American guy, man.
He had the beautiful smile and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, it was like, maybe OJ is a POS.
Yeah. Like, you know, so no, like, maybe, right?
Yeah. And, you know, then you know, you get older and you start realizing, you know, other storylines and sidebar conversations to the whole OJ Simpson thing. But yeah, man, I remember watching the race very vividly. I remember watching that with my family in the living room. I mean, even my aunt and uncle drove in from North Kansas City to Blue Springs, Missouri to come to the house to all sit around. And
yep.
Like Bob said, I'm almost positive we ate pizza because my grandmother, who was one hell of a cook, was not getting off the couch.
Well, and that's the other thing, too. I was watching
that
yesterday.
That was a hell of a summer, too. That's baseball strike. That's Olympics. That's all that stuff, man.
Yep. I mean, you're right. 94 was the baseball strike. Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. So there was a lot going on. But
there's a great 30 for 30 on ESPN.
Yeah,
about
that summer of 94, yep. whatever it was. Yeah, mm-hmm. fantastic 30 for 30. But I remember, you know, watching all of that stuff, obviously captivated. And for whatever reason, yesterday I caught the finale of Seinfeld, right? And a lot of that, I mean, Jackie Childs is based off of Johnny Cochran on O.J. Simpson. And one of the last scenes of the final Seinfeld is Jackie Childs is laying in bed with their real and their spectacular lady. And he answers the phone. He goes, they can reach a verdict already. And that's what it was like for O.J. This whole mm-hmm. 2-year process was reached in 90 minutes and they came to within a verdict. And obviously O.J. was taken free. Now, there's a lot of backstories to this O.J. story that I do find very fascinating. Number one, the fact that we have Mike Garrett in town, who was the athletic director at UCLA, and I believe may have played with O.J. Simpson or was a little bit ahead of O.J. Simpson at USC back in the day. And obviously, you know, Mike Garrett, Heisman Trophy winner now. He was at Dayton Moore's, you know, event a couple of weeks ago. He was, you know, that's a Kansas City connection that we have there. But also, too, a lot of people don't realize that a good majority of the fact-finding mission actually took place here in Kansas City. And all of those people that you saw on TV, from F. Lee Bailey to Bob Kardashian to Johnny Cochran to, you know, who's the last guy that's still alive that you see pushing the, you know, the 1-800-LAWYERS thing commercial. Oh, God, I'm drawing a blank on his name. Not Robert Kardashian. He's dead. There was another guy that's still out there, still doing some legal stuff and whatnot. All those guys, all those lawyers that defended O.J. Simpson, that dream team, they were all here in Kansas City. And the reason they were here in Kansas City, they stayed for a good period of time at the Westin, right?
Uh-huh.
And they were here because they were trying to talk to a certain running back that used to play for the Kansas City Chiefs that knew O.J. Simpson. You can kind of figure out who that was. Uh-huh. So a lot of that pre-trial stuff was taking place right here in Kansas City. Obviously, nobody knew all of that was going on. And that's how I met his agent at the time, Mike Gilbert, who you will see in the documentary, who actually owns the white Bronco, which I find to be really, really cool. It's on loan at a museum in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Mac, I'm sure you've been there and seen that OJ Bronco before in Gatlinburg when you were visiting Dollywood back in the days at college and playing hillbilly golf. But so Mike Gilbert still owns that Bronco, but a lot of that stuff took place right here in Kansas City,
And we'll never see anything like that again. Again, there were no options back then to watch on TV, so everybody was paying attention to this thing. But we'll never see anything like that because O.J. Simpson was like the perfect American guy. He was a spokesperson for everything. He was in every single movie out there. He was calling games on TV. Heisman Trophy winner, beautiful guy, great smile, everything you could probably want. And then that night happened, and, you know, he murdered, allegedly, his wife and Ron Goldman, and the whole thing changed.
OJ, man, and he looked scared.
But nothing will ever top that moment on TV. And people always ask,
Bob Shapiro there?
Bob Shapiro. That's who I was thinking of. And people say all the time, you know, if you could have a moment in life where you wish Twitter was around for, overwhelmingly, everybody says the OJ Simpson chase. Not necessarily the trial, but the chase that O.J. Simpson went on that day. Could you imagine if Twitter was available during the O.J. Simpson chase?
Geez. Be awesome.
In other book news, Prince Charles released an autobiography in which he states that he never loved Princess Di and that his father pressured him to marry her. The book is entitled, Of Course O.J. Did It. I mean, come on.
All right, Pete and Norm.
And then you have Norm MacDonald.
It was revealed today that O.J. Simpson told police that Nicole Brown Simpson used to beat him up. He also claimed that she and Ron Goldman killed him. Tomorrow, Judge Lancito will take OJ and the jury on a tour of the now famous crime scene. For the jury, it will be their first look at the actual location. Of course, for OJ, it will be just a case of been there, done that.
Norm MacDonald hated O.J. Simpson and hated him even more because he was friends with like some executive at NBC. So Norm MacDonald would just take shots at O.J. Simpson to piss that guy off too, which I think is really good. I like that, but deservedly so. Man.
But what's crazy is that as insane of an event that was, it has phased out. Like there's two full generations that probably don't even have any sort of, they're like, oh yeah, I watched the documentary. That was crazy. Yeah. You're like, yeah. Sure was. I mean, you do it with everything that you've gone through in life, like yep. with OJ and everything like that. Like, you know,
I mean, it goes back for our parents. It was like the Kennedy assassination was all real big, and they would talk about that all the time. And then for our generation, it was OJ. Then it was 9/11, and you know, things have happened, you know, kind of since then. But I think you're right about that. I mean, that's you know, 30 years ago, 31 years ago now that we're talking about that OJ chase, and you know, each year that goes by, it gets kind of further and further back, obviously, but it still doesn't, I mean, change. Like, you'll see the highlights today, I'm sure, all over the place, especially on social media, of that white Bronco driving all over town. And please do not pull me over today. I didn't do anything when you see me rolling through town, but it'll be all over the place. Everybody will be kind of talking about it on Twitter, throwing up the, I see OJ hitting. He looking very scared. I mean, the fact that guy got through to, I guess it was NBC or ABC at the time, and was able to prank from the Howard Stern show on Peter Jennings like that, is that's remarkable in and of itself. And Peter Jennings clearly wasn't paying attention. He just kind of let that guy go, and Al Michaels is like, all right, we've had enough here. We're not gonna let this guy. I see OJ, man, and he looking scared. Like, and Peter Jennings was like, thank you very much.
Howard Stern, in two of the biggest days in American history, is known for his radio show. I don't know if you've ever done this, Mac, but some of the greatest radio you will ever listen to is the Howard Stern show during 9/11.
Heck yes. Oh, well, during that specifically. Yes, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, he has, I believe, he has just one of the most iconic days in his career is that day. Because Howard Stern was always like farts and sex and fun of people. And of then 9/11 happens like in his area. And he just describes it the entire. It's one of the greatest radio things I think I've ever heard in my life, but how he is and who, what he's talking about. And then, of course, that.
Wow.
And then there was a time when he fell from the ceiling with his ass out and put it right. Or no, that was Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah.
Who became basically Howard Stern mixed with like Weird Al Yankovic.
One of the guys on his show actually is a huge Chiefs fan, Richard Christie. He listens to us a lot. Richard Christie, if you're listening today. Chiefs fan from, you know, down south, I think like Fort Scott. And, you know, Howard's made fun of him for crying when the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. He's like, you just don't understand, man. It's 50 years away. And Howard's like, what? This is a sports game, you know? And that's how, and so that was, that Howard Stern during that was unbelievable. The fact that he had his guy, like, not the fact that he had the guy call it, the fact that they let that guy get on the air and talk to Peter Jennings about such nonsense is just freaking unbelievable.
We have on the phone with us as well, Robert Higgins, who lives in the neighborhood and is on the ground and can see inside the van. Mr. Higgins.
Yes, how are you?
Just about as tense as you are, sir.
Oh, my Lord, this is quite the tensest.
Like you get to that point, somebody's got to say, we got to bail out of this thing.
Yeah.
We can't continue to allow this guy to be on the air. But they did.
What can you see?
Oh, what I'm looking at right now is I'm looking at the van, and I see OJ kind of slouching down, looking very, very upset. Now, looking here, he look very upset. I don't know what he going to be doing.
Can you see him doing anything specific? Is he merely sitting there?
He is just sitting around, you know, just looking like he'd be very nervous.
Can you hear anything, Mr. Higgins?
It's just too much commotion. I'd be in the back of a news van, so I can't really hear that good, but I can see it all. And I see OJ. I see OJ, man, and he looks scared. And I would be scared because there's cops all deep in this.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins.
And baba booey to y'all.
Peter, by the way, just for the record, this is Al Michaels. That was a totally farcical call.
Accomplished sportscaster. That's what you're known for. It's great.
On the come.
One more time.
On the come.
Mac, who you got?
Give me the Titans.
Oh, boy.
On the come.
Been hanging out with Buck Rising. Did he make it to the wedding on Saturday?
Buck Rising would never say the Titans are on the come. He is the king of pessimistic. Yeah, I would say the Titans because a few reasons. One, I looked at the roster. I was just kind of looking at different rosters, you know, starting getting the ball rolling, looking at these other teams who they've gotten. They're talented. If the O-line plays better like they should with one of the best O-line coaches in the league, I think that's their biggest problem.
Binkley's their O-line coach?
Been their biggest problem for quite some time. Behind Calvin Ridley, they've got Restrepo. They've got another guy that Tyler Lockett. So if Restrepo works out, I think he will out of Miami, you've got Tajay Sharp. You've got Tony Pollard. The defense is really good with Jeff Simmons and Devondre Sweat. Legarius Sneed, if he can be healthy. Ray McLeod. They've got talent. They've got talent. And Brian Callahan was a first-year head coach that came in to have a quarterback slinging mayonnaise. Like, now they've got a real guy behind there with some talent. I think the Titans, in a really bad division, they're on the come.
And they have no pressure on their quarterback because there's no coverage on their quarterback.
No coverage at all.
I'll go with Jacob Wilson, the shortstop who will start the All-Star game as a rookie for the Oakland Athletics, who was just in town for many reasons. One, baseball card. He had a first Bowman auto that somebody sold for $1,400 back in November of 2024. That card then sold again on on June 8th, 2025, so last week, for $18,100. His batting average is insane. We said it earlier, Judge is now hitting .377.
Well, this guy was .368 on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Has he passed Judge?
I don't know if he's passed him yet, but I will say they did play last night. Nick Kurtz hit the walk-off home run for the Sacramento A's last night. But Jacob Wilson is an absolute stud, bona fide G, or I guess he's a certified G and a bona fide stud, and Jacob Wilson is now hitting .362 as a rookie in the MLB world of baseball.
Wow. So he could lead the league in batting average.
He may. Yeah, he may.
Has that ever happened?
A rookie? I think it probably has.
I bet it was Ichiro.
Did they consider him a rookie?
I believe so.
Okay.
Because it was his first year in Major League Baseball. I think Matsui was a rookie. Okay. Otani was a rookie.
Yeah.
I
didn't know if that, like, because we're combining a lot of stats these days, you know, as they should, right? I mean, as they should. Japan is a very good professional baseball league.
Suzuki, he is one of the three to do it.
Who's the others?
Altuve?
No, this is, 1964,
oh, okay.
Tony Oliva, and then 1870.
Tony Oliva. Yeah.
And then it was
1870?
1876. Ross Barnes.
I never heard that name ever. No, honestly, I've never heard that name in my life.
I mean, 1876.
No, but I mean, I would have heard, you hear names all
the
time.
Yeah, that's true. 429 average as a rookie.
And it says here as well from MLB on June 8th. Only three players in the last 60 years have logged 200-plus hits in their rookie season. Will Jacob Wilson be the first rookie since Ichiro in 2001?
Who are the other rookies? Do they have that?
No.
I hate when they give you that kind of stuff, and then they don't tell you who they are. But there are only three other rookies.
Yes.
Who?
Who is it?
But I will say this, if you want to know, as of 16 hours ago, the leading shortstop for the American League is Jacob Wilson with 562,000 votes. Number two, any guess?
Bobby.
Bobby Witt Jr. with 519,000.
Wow,
so go
really
out
close.
There and vote. Ruin the rookie guy's year. I'm kidding. So, yeah, Bobby Witt Jr. will probably most likely definitely be an all-star behind Jacob Wilson, the rookie out of Sacramento.
Just so you know, Aaron Judge has already got 100 hits on the season.
Yeah.
In 71 games, he already has 100 hits.
And 25 of them are home runs.
26 homers, 60 driven in. Like, that's a season. That is a good year for somebody. Yeah, my on the come is Gage Wood. I think that guy, man, I think he captured something yesterday and has got everybody in sports talking about him. Like Mahomes was tweeting about the guy yesterday, right? Like, you know, you've gotten to rarefied air when Patrick Mahomes is taking the time to recognize game got game. And that guy yesterday, no hitter in the College World Series, like 18 strikeouts and just absolutely dominated. Got people to watch the College World Series yesterday that probably weren't going to watch the College World Series. I raised my hand on that one. There was a reason to go to the TV yesterday. He gave it to you, and that guy was awesome. So I think he's on the come right now. He's got an opportunity now to go out there, pitch another great one, and then all of a sudden people are talking about him being, I don't know, top 15, top 20 type pick in the draft probably.
That is on the come here on Fesco and Dusty. Don't know if you saw the shot, but yesterday at the game, Livy Dunn sitting right behind the net, 16-ounce Miller Lite. Hey, Dunn.
Good. I know
that I'm hard. How are you doing? How are you doing? Coming up on the other side, the best decade for movies. We discussed that as well. There was the 80s, the 90s, the 70s, the 60s, the 50s. What is the best decade for movies? We'll discuss that here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Talking about earlier is actually on tonight.
Is it really?
Yeah, 8 p.m. on ESPN2, June 17th, 1994 is what they call it. And they say a happy anniversary to one of the best docs in ESPN's 30 for 30 catalog. 31 years ago today was a bizarre day in sports history, magnificently documented by Brett Morgan on ESPN. You can always stream it, they say, on ESPN Plus. But Mac, you should sit down and watch that one if you haven't yet tonight. It's June 17th, 1994. Watch it on ESPN Plus if you have that. But like the O.J. Simpson Stanley Cup Finals, because the Rangers won the Cup that year, I believe, as well, for the first time since 1940. And then obviously the Knicks thing was going on. The O.J. chase was going on. There was some PGA Tour event or something big in golf going on that day. The World Cup.
World Cup, not Olympics. I was wrong on that.
Yeah, the World Cup was here. The Women's World Cup, I believe it was. At the time, or maybe it was the Men's World Cup that was here. But there was so much going on that day in sports, June 17th, 1994, one of the more remarkable days, if you will, of American professional sports.
So, Mac, you brought up this topic with us yesterday about which decade has the better movies, right? Because what, it was linked to, like, which one has the better music?
Well, we did music yesterday. Yeah. We did some music stuff, and I was like, well, let's think about movies, you know, because we were talking about, I can't remember exactly what it was. We were just getting into some 90s movies, and I was like, okay, well, what about the 80s? What about the 70s? Go back. Is the 21st century even on the list? Yeah, just cinematically, when was the mega movie haven?
I did some research on this, and I asked AI, I said, which was the best decade of movies? And they responded back to me, well, it's probably the 1970s, because in the 1970s, and again, this is according to AI. Okay, this is why I don't like AI. The 1970s produced some of the most iconic and influential films, including The Godfather, Taxi Driver, Pulp Fiction, Citizen Kane, and The Wizard of Oz.
I don't understand that.
It's crazy.
That's why you don't look at AI.
Yeah, that's insane.
Because Wizard
of
Oz is like 1938
that's
or something.
That's right. Yep. Pulp Fiction's in the 90s. Yeah. Citizen Kane's is in the 30s or 40s. Obviously, The Godfather was in the 70s. Taxi Driver, I think, was in the 70s. But Pulp Fiction, Citizen Kane, and The Wizard of Oz were not. And so for these folks who think AI is something that we need to embrace, kiss my ass. AI is the biggest scam, and it's costing people jobs, and it's going to ruin people's lives. This is the stuff that they're putting out there that people are looking at going, oh, this is good stuff. AI is really good. Tell me the best movies of the 70s. Citizen Kane, Wizard of Oz, and Pulp Fiction make the list.
Mm.
But I think it's hard to say
which decade is the best? Because how are we defining best, right? Because the 70s was remarkable when it came to movies. I mean, you heard about it, Pulp Fiction and The Wizard of Oz, my God. But the 90s was also good. The 80s was good. Like, I think every decade, Mac, and I think you're more of a movie guy on this one than I am, but I think every decade's kind of built on itself. You know, like the 30s were really good with movies, right?
The 30s were really foundational for a lot of things.
Exactly. Yeah. And the 70s were very foundational, but the 80s and 90s built on all of that.
Exactly.
And now we're kind of into a point in time where we're just getting remakes and redos and like building on, what do they call those movies? What's the word I'm looking for? Not series. Like they're banking
spin-offs.
On, yeah. Now it's like we have a group of things all together as one. Whatever it is. Now I'll think it'll come to me eventually. But like we're just building on the same thing. Like we got 18 Ant-Mans and we got 18 Green Lanterns and all this kind of stuff. Like we're not coming up with new stuff.
Yeah.
We're building on the stuff we already have. That's the trend now.
Yeah, it sucks. Yeah, I want to see something new.
A bunch of remakes.
Yeah. I want to see something new and creative. Give me a new idea. Yeah, the 90s had a lot of that. I mean, up until probably the last 15 years, I feel like. Maybe that's just recency bias, but felt like we always had new movies and new ideas.
It felt like it. I mean, you look at the movies in the 90s, like Pulp Fiction and Forrest Gump alone. I mean, like...
Yeah, really Confidential, Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah. Like, the list goes on and on.
You look at Disney, and I think Disney movies in general, the three biggest movies that cause debate for most people, and I try not to speak for everybody, but these were the six movies released in the 90s via Disney, like, you know, the main Disney movie. There's others like Jungle to Jungle, First Kid, Rookie of the Year, but Aladdin, Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, Little Mermaid, Tarzan, Mulan.
I mean, that's a wow.
So, I mean, I think
those are like foundational pieces of my childhood.
And I think the debate that gets into the Disney movies is like, how do you rank them 1 through 3? Aladdin, Lion King, Beauty and the Beast.
Now, see, me
and
it's Lion King.
All over the place.
Aladdin, like, Beauty and the Beast. But
best score for me is Lion King.
But Aladdin's got a great score, too.
And so does Tarzan.
And Tarzan is Phil Collins. Incredible, yeah.
The whole album's Phil Collins.
Yes.
Lion King is all Elton John.
Elton John, yeah.
And like African music.
Yes.
Aladdin, Street Rat, Riff Raft, I Don't Want That. Great movie.
Yes.
Aladdin, Lion King, Beauty and the Beast. That's my three.
See, I would go Beauty and the Beast, Lion King, Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast is the order I would go. Yeah. Yeah.
You guys know that Lion King is just Hamlet.
Hamlet? Mm-hmm. Really?
Uncle kills brother. Son comes back, fights brother. Or uncle.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Hamlet.
Damn, we have been doing remakes for him.
I guess I've been doing remakes, Mixing a little Elton John and making it about lions, and we're all in love with it. And we're all holding our children up at the game. Like, I do kind of feel a little weird about that every time I see that. Like, And then I always sing it, Rob Maloney. He serves up the beer, Robbie. Now I got his kids doing that when that song comes on.
That's good.
Rob Maloney.
Other 90s movies is Jurassic Park, Titanic, The Matrix.
I mean, that's what we're saying. Like, yeah, it's hard to say. Like, that's why, what are we defining best as, right? Are we defining the best as the 70s because it led to what we have now? Are we defining the 90s because it built on what the 70s gave us? Not a lot of people talk about the 80s in there, but that was the Back to the Future and all.
Yeah.
The 80s was just a weird decade, man. I don't know. People were licking stamps or something those 10 years, but that was a weird 40s, time to be alive.
Like Casablanca and, you know, all the Cary Grant movies and Jimmy Stewart, Audrey Hepburn, Judy Garland. Those were a lot of really good films back then. Yeah, it's tough.
It's hard to decide. And so I think the answer is there isn't an answer.
Yes,
and that's okay.
That's fine.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow the Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You don't have to put a label on everything all the time. You can enjoy it for what it is and realize how the industry has grown and built off of every decade that came before. Now I'm not a huge fan of what's going on in the movies again, because we talk about all we're doing is remaking the same thing over and over again. It feels like we're out of original ideas, quite honestly.
Coming up on the other side, Start Bench Cut. Brought to you by Jay Southland Tow, 913-586-7965. Throw your Start Bench Cuts in there as well. We'll give you ours here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Michael Wacha, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.